Todd Levin, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Kippy, thank you for having me.
You bet. First of all, would you like to please introduce yourself and let voters know why you're running for city council?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Todd Levin. I'm a local attorney here in town. I first moved to Asheville in 1985. I met my wife in 93. We waited tables at the Applebee's on Tunnel Road. We actually had our first date at Beaucatcher Cinema and then at the Waffle House all on Tunnel Road back in the early 90s. I went to the Army from 98 to 04. I was a multiple combat veteran. I was a 50 cal gunner with a 3.7 cab. Then when I got back, I went to school full-time at UNCA. I did the Army first, and then I used the GI Bill to pay for my school. I got married to Jessica, of course, my wife. I worked full-time at the Grove Park Inn. I went to school full-time at UNCA. Back then, this was in 05, I bought a house in North Asheville on my salary, waiting tables and tending bar, which is amazing. You can't do that anymore in Asheville. I practiced veterans law when I first moved to Asheville after law school. I did homeowners association primarily, and I've run a free legal clinic for homeless vets at ABCCM, probably like 11, 12 years now. So I'm very active in volunteer work. What got me running is I like everyone who's currently on city council, and it's actually awkward because I really like everyone who I'm running with in city council, which is great for you all because whoever wins, Asheville is going to be in great hands. I wanted to step in because I'm that really boring guy on all the board of directors and board of trustees who harp fiscal discipline and due diligence and looking ahead. And I see certain things that I think the city is definitely on the right path, but I think someone needs to step in, pump the brakes when it comes to cutting the checks and just refocus everything primarily core city services. So I'm talking public safety, streets, parking, your water, paying every single city employee a living wage, affordable housing. And I know a lot of the stuff is unpopular, and there's some really, really cool stuff that a lot of our city council want to do, and I think that's great. And I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying before you spend one penny on that, you gotta look to core city services. Like the fact that we're gonna be spending so much money on McCormick Field, but not all of our city employees are making a full living wage. That would be when I step in, like, no, we're getting the cart before the horse here. Like, first we do the mandatory, and then we can expand out.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. You mentioned affordable housing. Obviously, that's probably one of the biggest issues for Asheville and Asheville folks. What concrete actions will you be able to take to make housing more affordable in Asheville?
Okay, so Asheville just came out with the affordable housing plan, and it is beautiful. It is great. 113 something pages. Really great ideas. Two lines in that entire document I would focus upon. One is I would try to remove or reduce the barriers to developing affordable housing, and then I would try to increase the incentives to building affordable housing. Obviously, you don't want the city to grab, I'm not going to grab a shovel and start to dig and build a house myself, but we have the UDO, the Unified Development Ordinance, and it has certain restrictions, like you can't build a house without two parking spots, and just stuff like that that makes it really onerous to build here. If we remove a lot of those barriers for affordable housing, I'm not talking about rich folk housing. If you're rich and you can't find a house, you can build a house. Why? Because you're rich, so affordable housing, remove the barriers and also do some additional incentives. A lot of the city council work has been, and I think this is great and I'm not against it, but a lot of this city council work has been focused on mitigating the harm caused by a lack of affordable housing. It's really expensive. It's great stuff. It's like a proposed rent control and rental assistance and home mortgage assistance and, stuff to fight gentrification. I think that's all wonderful. But I think if we're only focusing on how to help and mitigate the symptoms, it's going to keep getting worse. Like you have to define and redefine the UDO that is really unpopular in a town that's really opposed. I don't say opposed. That's not fair. I'll say this. When people move to Asheville, they take a mental picture the horizon. It could be from where they live. It could be from their apartment, from their condo, from going out, you know, to eat downtown, wherever. They take that mental picture. Any derivation from that mental picture is intrinsically, oh, it's a degradation. This is terrible. Oh, you're changing what I love about Asheville. And it's hard. And it's really hard, especially if you want to win re-election, when everyone in Asheville is saying, oh, yeah, yeah, you can build. People deserve to live here. Just in another neighborhood, because traffic's so bad, the congestion's so bad. I like my neighbors all having a 1-acre lot. You know, I want to live in a neighborhood of single family homes. Like, you know, that's wonderful, but we all deserve to live. The fact that teachers teach in a school and they can't afford for their own children to go to the school that they teach in is absolute bull. I'm sorry. It's garbage. Okay. The fact that police and nurses and stuff can't afford to live in the city that they serve. The fact, like, when I was a waiter, I could live in the city that I serve. You can't do that anymore. That's garbage. And you have to, you don't fight the NIMBYism, but you just have to show people it is okay. We can all win. Like, you can literally develop and we'll all thrive. So that's what I'll do. I think we have a lot of folks on city council, a lot of people who are running for city council have amazing vision with ways to mitigate the harm and really, really inspirational stuff. That's not me. I'm like, okay, you guys do that and you can vote for three people. So you can vote for two people, pure inspiration, but every board, every, you know, governance should have that one dork, that number cruncher who's like, oh, we probably shouldn't spend more money than we're making. And that's me.
Got it. Improving housing affordability would likely make the biggest impact on homelessness here in Asheville.
Yes.
Other improvement opportunities exist in harm reduction and mental health services. What solutions could you offer to the problems of homelessness and these other areas in harm reduction and mental health?
Okay, so great question. That's a tough one. It hits home with me. So my twin sister, who was my best friend growing up, she was actually killed on the streets here in Asheville in 2010. She was homeless. She had a 10-year-old daughter at the time, battling alcoholism and drug addiction. And one of the reasons why we moved back after I graduated from law school was because when she was killed, my wife and I decided to move back to Asheville to help my parents raise my niece, which my wife and I have subsequently adopted, and she's now our oldest daughter, and she's wonderful. She's actually my legal assistant, which is super, super cool. But anyway, so when we had our house in 05, she came and she lived with us. And my wife is so darn patient and understanding, and we absolutely enabled her. We're like, as long as she's off the streets, that's fine. Because, I mean, she had like a 6-year-old kid, you know, at the time. And so we let her drink and we let her do drugs, and it just absolutely, she spiraled down. Do I blame myself for that? Yeah, I could have done better, but it was with the biggest heart because she's my twin sister, you know? So I see right now the issue with the unhoused, and I see, and I don't want to exaggerate, but about half the folks are like, oh, just lock them up, arrest them, throw them on a bus and send them to San Francisco, you know, or some garbage like that. And then the other half of the folks, really, really kind, like, well, just whatever we do, let's housing first, you know, let's throw them in a hotel. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but, you know, let's place them in a hotel. It's not up to us to say if they can drink or drug or whatever, you know, let's just put them elsewhere. And to me, both sides, even though I get where they're coming from, because I definitely have friends who subscribe to both of those, I think they have that out of sight, out of mind kind of sheen to it. And I don't think that's right. Like, I think they're not problems. They're people. Like, these, every time I see someone who's unhoused, I see my twin sister. And I think we need to treat them. I think we need to treat them with dignity and respect. We don't need to ship them off. We need to give them the wraparound services. I'm not saying I'm against housing first, and I think it's probably a great first step, but that can't be the only step. We have to continue more. And if we're going to do it, it's going to cost money, but they're people and they deserve it. So, so I don't know if that answers your
absolutely
question.
Okay. yeah and a unique perspective as well, leading to my next question then. Do you support the targeting of houseless people by the Asheville City Police Department, like the homeless camp sweeps that we've seen, or the special operations which target arrests of panhandlers that we've seen over the past year?
That's great. Okay. And that was actually in one of the questionnaires. I think the most recent Mountain Express questionnaire talks about that. And unfortunately, they phrase it as a yes or no. And I'm like, Thomas, you can't. Okay. So first and foremost, no. But, and I get, because transparency and honesty is incredibly important, because when people go to vote, I want them, even if they don't vote for me, if they're like, oh, I know what Todd stands for, and then decide not to vote for me, I've done my job, okay? Because a democracy is always get what they deserve, because it's a democracy. In general, no, not for aesthetic reasons, no. However, I'm a realist. A lot of times, if there is an issue of public health or an issue of safety, like a woman gets raped, a kid gets assaulted, then absolutely I think the police have the right to go in to an encampment. And if they decide this is really bad, a public health outbreak, I mean, yes, I think there definitely are certain circumstances where a camp can be cleared. But again, you got to take the totality of the circumstances in. Is there a place for these people to go? Can it be cleared? Giving them absolute dignity and respect. Are people going to be more harmed in the clearing than letting them stay? What's the effect upon the neighborhood? And it can't be. I'm 100% against it being cleared simply for aesthetics. Like, oh, this is North Asheville. Why are they here? Like that? No. That's not a reason to clear. Does that make sense? Okay.
Just a clarification on that. It was a two-part question. What about the targeted arrests of panhandlers that we've seen? That's a recent.
No, it is. It is. It is. And I think this is definitely an instance where the current, and not calling anyone out, I think they went I think they went more than a bridge too far. But like you can't give food to people if you're in a car. I mean, like stuff like that. I get having a restriction saying you cannot panhandle right in front of an ATM machine. I get that. That's not targeted arrest. That's not you cuff them and you ship them off. That is a, hey, you're 5 feet within an ATM. Why don't you move over there? So again, I'm not against the I think they're called like the panhandling, and quote, the vagrancy, you know, unquote, statutes and ordinances. I'm not against those, but that's not the question. That's not the targeted arrest of, quote, vagrants, unquote. So I'm against the latter, not against the former. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that. Another question of support. Do you support the BID, the Business Improvement District? Another two-part question. Mm-hmm. Why or why not?
Okay.
And then what do you see what do you want to see when it comes to the next decisions of the BID process, which includes the governance structure, the management, and the services?
Perfect. Okay. I think it's sad that we have to have a BID. Okay, I think we have to have one, but I think when you look at, so the city put out a poll and they talked to downtown residential renters, downtown residential owners, business owners, workers. I mean, you know, they talked to everyone. What are your main concerns? Why would you want to bid? All of them, their number one concern was something that the city is supposed to provide. Sidewalks, lighting, safety, parking garages, cleanliness. You know, it's all stuff that the city failed to do. And the fact that a bunch of landowners are willing to, I mean, if you own land downtown, you're probably trying to make a profit. They're literally willing to pay for it themselves because the city won't do it. That I think is sad. I think that is really unfortunate. But the fact that they're willing to pay for it themselves, where I, who don't live downtown, don't have to pay for it, I think that's nice. I would have voted in favor of the BID just because they're willing to take this on themselves. But if I was on city council, I would make sure that public safety, the cleanliness, the sidewalks, the infrastructure stuff, we doubled down and we took care of that so that the only thing the BID has to do is work on the community stuff. The I don't know why they're called safety ambassadors or, you know, whatever. I think that's just weird. But folks who can walk around and say, do you know what our local performing arts are for putting on? This is here. Oh, you don't know how to get to this restaurant here. And so the more it's just a community thing, it's not policing. It's not kicking out Joe from your entryway. It's not cleaning a sidewalk. It's not fixing a sidewalk. It's not doing stuff that the city needs to do themselves anyways. So I would have voted in favor of it. I would have. It's unfortunate we have to have it. And what I'd like to see in the future is that the top two reasons why people would like it, I want those to go away. Mm-hmm. And I want it just to go to the nice community or, you know, oriented part.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Next question. Since HCA acquired Mission, the quality of care has suffered to the point that it was or is in danger of losing its contract with Medicare and Medicaid. What, if anything, can the city do about the decline of this institution, which is so crucial to our well-being here in this community?
Oh, that's tough. Okay, so while in law school, I actually worked with the Attorney General's office under when Roy Cooper was still the Attorney General, and I did a lot of work in the Medical Certificate of Need section. So where hospitals are, what they can do, what their competition can be, it's all regulated by the Certificate of Need scheme. It's really complex. I think the state is doing well and that they're allowing other hospitals to be built. Apart from that, there's not really much that the city can do now in retrospect. I mean, prior, yeah, I would love to say, oh, I would have been opposed to it. But I mean, I can't unlearn what I've learned now. So I don't know what I would have thought back then. Obviously, in retrospect, it's terrible. I mean, just talk to any nurse and they'll let you know. It's really a shame. And it's sad because, you know, like my father died of heart stuff. I mean, you know, he could have lived longer if he got better care. I mean, you just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Preliminary data indicates that so far the Merriman Avenue road diet or conversion of a major sector of this key thoroughfare from 4 lanes to 3 lanes, allowing for enhanced bicycle and pedestrian access. One, it reduced crashes and increased bicycle traffic. Impact on pedestrians still a little unclear. All of this with an average increased travel time of no more than 14 seconds. How does that information inform your view of the upcoming major Patton Avenue reconfig in response to the I-226 corridor?
Massively. Okay, again, absolute full disclosure, and your listeners need to know this. If I was on city council prior, I would have voted against the Merriman Avenue road diet. I would have been like, that's crazy. You need the 4 lanes. I mean, it's insane. The traffic is going to be terrible. It's going to be absolute bedlam. Cats and dogs living together. I mean, horrible. I would have been wrong. It's hugely successful. I mean, it is an overwhelming success. I live in Monford. I go up to my bank is in North Asheville. I take Merriman Avenue all the time. It's never taken me more than maybe an additional 3-4 minutes. Significantly safer to walk. It is a huge success. Before I realized it was such a success, I heard about the similar work on Patton. I'm like, no, this is gonna hurt downtown businesses because Merriman Avenue is such a success. Again, it's different than downtown. I'm not on council, but if I were on council now and the vote came up for Patton, I'd be like, you know what? It really worked on Merriman Avenue. So I would not give the immediate no that I otherwise would have. So absolute full disclosure. I love it. I'm in favor of the Merriman Avenue road diet. I like the greater bikeability, but full disclosure, I would have voted against it. I'm glad I wasn't because now I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sidewalks, improved bus services. These yes. are things that residents have been calling for years. How could you push those efforts forward?
Priorities. I mean, that is absolutely core city services. The Melvin Hills Pool. I mean, core, you know, it's park and recs. I mean, it is, if we build it, we have to maintain it. If we promised East Asheville, you're going to have your sidewalk will be done by May 2023. We're kind of past that. If you prioritize core city services first, and then you go to pet projects and additional surplus type of spending later, I think that's the way you do it. And I think that's the way those things actually get done. I understand they're not sexy. It's not, no one is like, oh, that's Sidewalk Man. He's so cool. But that's why people live in a city.
Mm-hmm. The legality or illegality of drugs is certainly not in city council's purview. But if elected, would you consider working to put the enforcement of marijuana prohibition at the lowest priority for Asheville's police force and allocating significant money to social services for other efforts such as employment subsidies and training to reintegrate drug war victims?
God, that's a great question. Okay, so as you know, I'm an attorney, so you're absolutely bound to enforce the law. However, the states. And because our Constitution is set up to allow states as laboratories, even though it is federally illegal to have pot, some states are like, but it's okay here, you know, and that's okay. I mean, technically it's illegal, but that's how the Constitution was set up. The courts have said, okay, fine, you know, Colorado, you go do it, okay? And they're raising a significant amount of revenue for it. I do not smoke pot. It's not because it's illegal. It's just because I'm a loser. I drink and that's fine. However, I don't really care if you go out and smoke pot. I really don't care. As long as you're not like massively dealing, you know, as long as you don't have like a huge van with like, you know, pounds and pounds and pounds of a pot, I could care less. I mean, it's not fentanyl. I mean, you know, Todd, are you okay if we don't enforce fentanyl? Absolutely not. Am I okay if we don't enforce pot? That's on the cops. If the cops choose, I don't want to arrest this nice lady because she has a joint. I mean, I'm not going to lose sleep over that.
Okay. What are your thoughts on short-term rental restrictions and the flagrant violations of the current regulations? And do you believe that the city should act to make Airbnb accountable with regards to its refusal to provide key data that would allow and facilitate Asheville's enforcement of its own current regulations?
Oh, I love that. Okay, because affordable housing is such a premium right now, I think Airbnbs and short-term rentals, I mean, I don't say they should be regulated. They are. I mean, I think the problem with enforcement is that, you know, just no one's doing it. I mean, because you have to have enough money to have enough staff to actually go ahead and enforce it. And when it gets enforced, a lot of it gets challenged and the city just folds. I think if we were to, so a number I like to say if I could put up 11,000 or have 11,000 new units online in the next 4 years, it would not be enough. But if we had that much more affordable housing, people wouldn't care that much about short-term rental because it's not stealing a home away from a family that needs a home. If we have enough affordable housing, no one's going to care about short-term rental, and the people who are complaining about their property rights to rent stuff out on a short-term basis, they win. The people who are upset about the folks with SCRs, they also win. So I know that's not directly answering your question. If we build enough housing, no one is going to care. Right now, we do not have enough housing. We do have regulations. The regulations should be enforced.
Got it. All right, Todd. Is there anything else, finally, last question, is there anything else you'd like to let voters know that maybe we didn't discuss before we let you go?
Yeah, it's kind of odd, but I really want to go back and reiterate that I'm glad I'm not running for national office or for state office because that just gets really, really nasty. I'm just not that kind of politician. In running for this local for city council office, I'm really impressed with the other people who I'm running with. So I really have to say that Asheville, I don't know how you won this lottery, but you've really lucked out. No matter who wins in November, I think we're rocking on for at least another 4 years.
Todd Levin for City Council, thank you so much for joining us. We, again, appreciate your time and your civic duty there.
Thank you for having me.